The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. Today we'll be continuing the message, The Firm Foundation. How wonderful to know that in spite of the fact many of the foundations that we see around us are crumbling and that the house that's built on the sand will not stand as Jesus taught, but there is a firm foundation upon which we can rest and rejoice that it is so. If the message is a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I also invite you to go to our website where you can read the Baptist Witness and find our Sunday and daily broadcasts. Now, the question is asked by the psalmist, what can the righteous do? What can be done if you lose your material possessions, you lose your job, you lose your pension, you lose your savings?
What can the righteous do? If you finally awaken to the fact that you have pinned your hopes on worldly wisdom and you see the vanity of it, the emptiness of it, what can the righteous do? If you're at a place where family and friends have deserted you, what can the righteous do? Well, as David said, I looked around and saw that no man cared for my soul. But then he said, Thou art my portion and my refuge in the land of the living. What can the righteous do? Trust in the sovereign Lord. In this 11th Psalm, the first verse, David had said, In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? Trust in the Lord. So, well, what does that mean? Is that just an expression that it's kind of nebulous? I'm not sure exactly what that implies. No, it's something full of meaning. If the Lord is in his holy temple, then we're talking about trusting one who is in control, one who has all power, one is able to sustain us in the midst of our difficulties, whatever they may be. David expressed it like this in the 69th Psalm, verse 2. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. Here he is, sinking in the mire. The foundation then seems to be destroyed. There's no solid place to put his foot. I try to pick my foot up and it goes down again into the mire. I'm sinking in the miry clay. Verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. What's he doing as he feels to sink? He's calling upon God. My prayer is unto thee. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And then verse 33, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. What's David learning? I feel to be sinking in the mire. I don't seem to have my foot on the foundation right now, but I know this, that the Lord hears the poor. I qualify for that. I know myself to be poor. I know that I'm in great need. And he despiseth not the prayer of the prisoner, so I'm going to seek God. I'm going to turn to him. What can the righteous do? You know what so often happens? When the foundations have been shaken, when your life is in turmoil, when everything that seemed to be so secure and in place seems to be disrupted, there's a tendency to try to take things into your own hands and fix it by your own plans and schemes. A tendency to forget God, or if you call on him at all, it's kind of a last resort after other things are tried. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, we find a description of the foundations being shaken. Look at how the prophet describes it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That sounds like a foundation being shaken, does it not? The economy has collapsed. There is no harvest. There is no herd. There is no flock. Everything is dark and gloomy. There has been complete devastation. Now, what can the righteous do in such an hour? Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my string instruments. Habakkuk is saying that even though this dismal scene may be in front of me. And you recall that he'd gone through a lot of struggle. He was first perplexed by the evil of the day, and then even more disturbed when he found out that God was addressing the issue, where he thought at first that God was totally ignoring it, and then he found out that God was raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to come and invade them, and said, "Lord, how can you do this? I know we're bad, but you're going to bring in somebody that's worse to destroy us?" He had to go to the watchtower and spend a little time in meditation, and came to the realization in Habakkuk chapter 2 that the just shall live by his faith. And now he comes to these concluding remarks in this marvelous little book and tells us that even in the darkest and most difficult of times, that I will yet trust in the Lord, not only trust in him, but rejoice in him. And these lessons are not peculiar to the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul describes some of his experiences for us in like manner, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." That sounds like the foundation is crumbling, doesn't it? "We're in so much trouble, we've despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." What were they going to do at this moment that it seemed that death was imminent? The whole purpose of all of this was that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in the living God. Is it a daily experience in your life? Are you trusting him in every situation? Are you depending upon him, seeking his guidance, asking for his wisdom, asking for his supporting grace? Paul said, "I had to learn in all of this with the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God." What can the righteous do? Trust in the Lord. Furthermore, David tells us that the righteous can continue to do right. Suppose the foundation of your marriage is beginning to crumble. It's very easy at that time to point to the other party and say, "Well, if he or she would do better, if they would change, I could handle it." But you see, every one of us are to do right before God if nobody else ever does. So easy for us to look around and make excuses, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's at work and you have problems there, or whether it's among friends, or if it be a problem in the church. Somebody to say, "Well, if this person would just make a change, if this person would do right, then I could do better." No. Every one of us are to do right if nobody else does. And that's exactly the lesson that Jesus gave in those letters to the seven churches of Asia when he said, "I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him." So that says that nobody could ever make an excuse and say, "The reason I can't commune with the Lord is because somebody else is interfering." No, the Lord said, "If you'll open the door, I'll sup with you." If everybody else in the church is out of place, if you will have the right spirit, I'll commune with you. And so the righteous are to continue to do right. David had said, "In the Lord put I my trust, how say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" We looked at that question more in depth last time. But you see, that's the suggestion that usually comes, "All right, if I've got a problem, I need to run away from it. I need to hide. I need to hit the eject button. I need to get out of here." David says, "How can you suggest to me that I go like a bird fleeing to the mountain for refuge? No, I'm going to stand. I'm going to remain in my place. I'm going to do what's right before God." Verse 7 says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." We're to stand against evil, to stand firm. If the foundations are shaking, if certain foundations are destroyed, we are to continue to trust God and continue to do what's right. In the day when What Paul talked about has certainly arrived when he said that there will be a time that men will have itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth. Yet he said to Timothy to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Jude tells us in the third verse of his epistle, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You know, sometimes it's difficult to take a firm stand when there is great opposition. And I find some people who are greatly influenced by this philosophy, "Let's not do anything to rock the boat." Let me ask you, did Jesus follow that kind of a philosophy in his ministry? Did Jesus say, "I'm going to be careful never to speak a word that will offend anybody"? How was it in the ministry of the Apostle Paul? Did he say that we're going to have peace at all costs? Certainly we desire peace, we desire unity. But friends, the idea that you can never rock the boat may mean that you'd rather compromise than to stand for truth. We're told here to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. How is it with you? Certainly preachers need to have boldness and courage today to preach the truth as it is in the Word of God. But what about you individually? When you're talking to friends, family members, or others, do you sometimes draw back a little bit? You know what you ought to say. You know what the truth is, but you don't want to speak it because you don't want somebody to think you're a religious fanatic. What kind of a job are you doing in contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints? The foundations be destroyed, living in a day when people so much reject the truth of God, may we contend for it. And then, not only do we see that there are foundations which may be destroyed, and not only do we find instruction as to what the righteous can do under such circumstances, it's good news to know that there are foundations which cannot be destroyed. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "The foundation of God standeth sure." Paul is talking about those that had their faith overthrown. Some came along saying the resurrection is already past and said overthrew the faith of some. But in spite of the fact that their faith was overthrown, the foundation of God's right where it had always been. The foundation of God standeth sure. Aren't you glad to know that there is a foundation that cannot crumble, a foundation that cannot be moved? The foundation of God stood sure then. It stands sure now. It'll stand sure forever. It's one thing that will not undergo any transition or change. The foundation of God. The foundation book. Psalm 119, reading in verse 144. "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live." What about the testimonies of God? They're everlasting. The book of God, the truth of God, is going to stand. Verse 152. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." New philosophies come along. A book that may be on the bestseller list today will be forgotten at a later time. Ideas, concepts are constantly undergoing change. But the fact is, God's truth remains. This foundation book we can depend on. It was given us by men divinely inspired. It was true as it was written. It's been preserved by divine providence so that we have it today. And no matter how many may criticize it, no matter how many may seek to undermine it, the fact is the foundation book stands firm. The foundation message. Paul summarized what his burden was, what his preaching was about, what his message contained in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What was Paul's message? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Did he preach on any other subject? Obviously he did. But everything he preached was connected with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If he's preaching on practical things, he says you're to live a godly life. Why? Because Christ was crucified for you. You're to forgive one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Everything was connected to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This is the message. That message doesn't change. It doesn't need to be improved upon. Doesn't need to be expanded in this modern day. The foundation message is sure. That's comforting, isn't it? To know in a world that is constantly undergoing change. Change everywhere around us. You get a little perplexed sometimes. You say, well, I'm glad for modern technology, but you get to the point, say, I can do without some of it. Gets to be more of a burden than it is a help. Everything in life is changing. You kind of think back to years gone by and say, you know, I'd kind of like to roll back the clock and remember how it was in the good old days. But no matter how much you might resist change, you might try to slow down the process, change continues to occur. But in a changing world, there is something that doesn't change. The foundation book still is sure, the foundation message. And then we read about the foundation stone in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Oh, that's good, isn't it? I lay in Zion a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Jesus Christ is that solid rock. He is the stone. He is the foundation stone, and we rest in Him. We find Peter referring to this in his writings. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, reference to this passage from the Old Testament. Verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Now here's the quote from the book of Isaiah that we just read. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I ask you today, do you believe on him? This chosen stone, this precious stone, this stone of great value, of great price, Jesus Christ, those who rest in him, those who trust in him shall not be confounded, shall not be disappointed. You rest upon many of these other foundations and disappointment is certain. You depend upon the foundation of material gain and earthly wealth. Depend even on the foundation of civil government and think that the government is going to protect you and defend you. You depend upon any other foundation and disappointments are out there, but you depend upon this solid foundation, Jesus Christ, the chosen stone, and you'll not be confounded, you'll not be disappointed. Everything we need is in Him. Spoke of Abraham seeking a city which hath foundations. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us about the fact that even the foundation of this earth upon which we live will be shaken. We've had a few minor earthquakes in this part of the country, and you know there's a sense of uneasiness just feeling the earth shake if it is only a minor one. I've talked to people who have been where the earthquake was major, and you talk about a feeling of uncertainty and discomfort and anxiety to have the earth shake beneath you. Well, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail." The foundation of this earth upon which we live will someday be laid aside. But Abraham says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, "Looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Are you looking for that city today? You look for that city whose builder and maker is God, not built by the ingenuity of man, not built to stand only for a few hundred years. This city of which we speak will stand forever. Jesus Christ is the builder of it. Oh, yes, there is a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What a contrast when you read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Those who are building on the sand are due to fall. The crash is coming. Where are you building today? Are you building on a solid foundation? Are you resting on the rock of ages? Jesus Christ, that sure foundation, that chosen stone. In him there's no disappointment. When the world's on fire, you'll be safe with him. Have you trusted him? Have you believed on him? If you've never confessed him, may you today come forward to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to know that when any other foundation is destroyed, I have a solid place to stand. My hope is in him."
How wonderful to know that if all other foundations should crumble and be destroyed, there is a foundation that stands sure forever. Jesus Christ, that chosen stone, the rock of ages. If you've never come to him, come to him today. He's the only hope that we have for time and eternity. Till next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.